Capitol Hill is following every machination of this executive order, but what are the feelings in the center of the country where change is slow and people are loyal? In fact, some people live in Loyal, about 70 miles northwest of Oklahoma City. It's a town, a little town in Kingfisher County, 81 residents, and two of them are Clay Pope and his mother, Jacqueline.
Bill and I were married for 57 years. He taught school for the first 10 years we were married while he was farming, and then he retired to full-time farming, and it's been wheat and cattle. And
I was getting ready to say we've got about 2,600 acres, and it's primary wheat and beef operation now. We've always had wheat. We used to milk dairy cows too, but production agriculture and making the income off of the land for mom and my brother have always been their only sources of income, especially until after dad quit teaching for a little while. But then I've come back to the farm and I helped some, but I've had off farm income during the time since I came back about 1993-94.
We didn't have family vacations. We've never been to Disneyland or anything like that. We were home. We worked, and it takes work. I've been places and people say, well, I don't think I'm going to get Christmas Eve off. Well, if I don't get Christmas Eve off, I'm going to have New Year's Eve off. We work 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. It's not quite as bad since we quit dairying, but it's still. And you can plan to go someplace, that darn herd of cattle will get out, and you don't get to go. Your plans are changed. I mean, it's a different life.
Well, I can't tell you a little joke about that. Mom mentioned dairy. Of course, I grew up with mom and dad milking cows, and then milk cows some too. And I can always the playpen in the dairy barn, and that was always the joke that if you're gonna die, you got to wait until the milking's done. and we actually had a neighbor not too far from us that they were dairying too, and I think her water actually broke. She had to wait till she got the milkers clean before she could go to the hospital. So that's when she went into labor. So that's just some of the stories that you do. I can remember one of the earliest memories that I have is you tying me on a tractor. Yep. With a piece of rope. We had an 0830 John Deere. We
didn't
have a cab
on
it. And that's what you tied me on there as a little kid. I was probably about 2 years old, and you were
a little bit older.
And that's what, so I wouldn't fall off the tractor when you were out working in the fields.
That's one thing about farm life. It's you're together. You work together all the time. You have to.
They see a divided America on both coasts. Their responsibility remains getting from this land all that it will give for them and for all of us, too. For more than a century, wheat crops and cattle. Oh, and these days, one more thing.
That's always the joke, is that if you got an oil well, it makes you a heck of a lot better farmer. And so, the natural resources has always been the base of the wealth in this part of the country. And that's been a combination of both the mineral rights and what comes with oil and gas production. And then, of course, the production on the surface of the land. Cattle has been a big part of the income stream in this part of the world. Also, wheat. And when I say wheat, it's winter wheat. That's what's called dual purpose wheat. It's wheat that you plant and you can graze livestock on in the wintertime. You pull them off around March, and then it goes ahead and heads on out, and you can cut that for grain.
Is it hard to make a living off the land these days as a family farmer? Can you hold on to the land and make a living?
We have so far, but equipment is getting so outlandish that, you know, trying to make the payment each year just on tractors, and right now we're looking at maybe a combine, $140,000 for a used combine, and I've already got the header. You know, it's just the combine.
Well, and that's what we had. Tractor go south on us this year, and when we end up paying for that tractor at the dealership, we just built, and it's, how old is that tractor? It's a used
oh, yeah.
Tractor.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to say it was.
Well, that's a combine will be too.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say.
So you absolutely can't afford new equipment. I just don't see how.
You know, we've been able to make a go of it. And, of course, obviously, the another thing that we've seen a benefit from in this area is that we are probably in the last part of the United States where they've been aggressively pursuing oil and gas. We're in what's called the stack area. Companies that had money already invested in drilling and had made those capital expenses, they moved a lot of those resources into this area because it's proven reserves, relatively easy to get to. And there's been a lot of, you know, that's helped. Like I said earlier about, you've got a good oil well, it makes you a lot better farmer. Been lucky.
Fair.
I was getting ready to say, we've been lucky, and that's helped out quite a bit.
Every election, it's about what is America, you know. who is America? And everybody has an answer for that. But from your perspective, how has that changed or how has it stayed the same?
It seems like that we haven't got enough number for them to even care about so much of the time in politics because there's fewer and fewer farmers. When I was growing up, there was a family on every quarter of land. And now you go for miles and you won't find a home. And we're just getting fewer and fewer, but you know that food's got to come from somewhere.
We are described as a divided country in America. What could change that, do you think?
I honestly don't know. The main thing is we've got so far away from faith. If you believe in everybody around you, it's not so bad. But it's just got that everybody's just, they don't have time for anybody else, not even their families. So I think that's one of the things, just not getting to know people. You know, we all have basically the same heart. When I was growing up, you know, we would have families in. We'd play cards. Nowadays, it's computer or else we're on that darn phone all the time.
You know, you think about it that, you know, of course, we still have an active Lions Club down here, but it's not everybody in the community like it used to be. It's kind of drying off, too. But you don't have that, and Mom said faith, but whether it's church or whether it's something like the Lions Club or whether it's, you know, a community group, just anybody. The thing is that you can disagree, but you're not evil. You know what I'm saying? People may be wrong, but they're not bad. But we've gotten to this point where if you don't talk to people that you disagree with, that you're, you know, and just understand that we're going to sometimes have different opinion, but everybody, like Mom said, we're all human. I mean, we're all in this together. We should be part of the same family or the same community, whether you're talking about the country, whether you're talking about your city, whether you're talking about your state, whatever it is. And that's one of the big things that we've lost, because if you don't believe like I do, I'm not talking to you, I'm not listening to you, and it's been, and people for their own, in my opinion, in their own interest, has pushed this concept that if you disagree with me, you're not just wrong, you're evil. Now, I can agree, I can get along with somebody who's wrong, but if somebody's evil, I got to fight them with everything I got. And I think that's when one of the big disconnections that we see that's really made, it's really made a lot of things hard in our country, but our politics especially.
8 years ago, first African-American president. Wow, what a huge change in American life. What does that mean? And today, it's Donald Trump. What do you make of that contrast?
It's a change. Our life didn't change that much out here. Our life didn't change that much, and I don't think it'll change that much again. We've lived in this country with nuts before, and we will again. I mean, whichever side you want to fall on, we'll survive. We'll survive.
I think like any other president, Obama did some things right and he did some things wrong. And I anticipate that President Trump, like any other president, will do some things right and do some things wrong.
They're only human.
And there's more to the game than just a president. I think there's a responsibility of Congress to do their job. You know, are they going to represent their constituents? You know, you've got the courts that serve as another check. You know, you've got the states. You know, how is it all going to fit together? I mean, you can't put everything, good or bad, on one individual, nor should you expect to. That's not how the system's supposed to work.
I think Donald Trump's going to find out that he can't do everything. You know, he just can't. He's a human being, believe it or not. We've got to check and balance government, and it'll work out.
They see a divided America on both coasts. Their responsibility remains getting from this land all that it will give for them and for all of us, too. For more than a century, wheat crops and cattle. Oh, and these days, one more thing.
That's always the joke, is that if you got an oil well, it makes you a heck of a lot better farmer. And so, you know, obviously the natural resources has always been the base of the wealth in this part of the country. And that's been a combination of both the mineral rights and what comes with oil and gas production. And then, of course, the production on the surface of the land. Cattle has been a big part of the income stream in this part of the world. Also, wheat. And when I say wheat, it's winter wheat. That's what's called dual purpose wheat. It's wheat that you plant and you can graze livestock on in the wintertime. You pull them off around March, and then it goes ahead and heads on out, and you can cut that for grain.
Is it hard to make a living off the land these days as a family farmer? Can you hold on to the land and make a living?
We have so far, but equipment is getting so outlandish that, you know, trying to make the payment each year just on tractors, and right now we're looking at maybe a combine, $140,000 for a used combine, and I've already got the header. You know, it's just the combine.
Well, and that's what we had, tractor go south on us this year, and when we end up paying for that tractor at the dealership we just built, and it's, how old is that tractor? It's a used tractor.
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to say it was.
Well, that's a combine will be too.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say.
So you absolutely can't afford new equipment. I just don't see how.
You know, we've been able to make a go of it. And, of course, obviously, you know, the another thing that we've seen a benefit from in this area is that we are probably in the last part of the United States where they've been aggressively pursuing oil and gas. We're in what's called the STACK area. Companies that had money already invested in drilling and had made those capital expenses, they moved a lot of those resources into this area because it's proven reserves, relatively easy to get to. And there's been a lot of, you know, that's helped. Like I said earlier about, you've got a good oil well, it makes you a lot better farmer. We've been lucky, and that's helped out quite a bit.
Every election, it's about what is America, you know. Who is America? And everybody has an answer for that. But from your perspective, how has that changed or how has it stayed the same?
It seems like that we haven't got enough number for them to even care about so much of the time in politics because there's fewer and fewer farmers. When I was growing up, there was a family on every quarter of land. And now you go for miles and you won't find a home. And we're just getting fewer and fewer, but you know that food's got to come from somewhere.
We are described as a divided country in America. What could change that, do you think?
I honestly don't know. The main thing is we've got so far away from faith. If you believe in everybody around you, it's not so bad. But it's just got that everybody's just, they don't have time for anybody else, not even their families. So I think that's one of the things, just not getting to know people. You know, we all have basically the same heart. When I was growing up, you know, we would have families in. We'd play cards. Nowadays, it's computer or else we're on that darn phone all the time.
You know, you think about it that, you know, of course, we still have an active Lions Club down here, but it's not everybody in the community like it used to be. It's kind of drying off, too. But you don't have that, and Mom said faith, but whether it's church or whether it's something like the Lions Club or whether it's, you know, a community group, just anybody. The thing is that you can disagree, but you're not evil. You know what I'm saying? People may be wrong, but they're not bad. But we've gotten to this point where if you don't talk to people that you disagree with, that you're, you know, just understand that we're going to sometimes have different opinion, but everybody, like Mom said, we're all human. I mean, we're all in this together. We should be part of the same family or the same community, whether you're talking about the country, whether you're talking about your city, whether you're talking about your state, whatever it is. And that's one of the big things that we've lost, because if you don't believe like I do, I'm not talking to you, I'm not listening to you, and it's been, and people for their own, in my opinion, in their own interest, has pushed this concept that if you disagree with me, you're not just wrong, you're evil. Now, I can agree, I can get along with somebody who's wrong, but if somebody's evil, I got to fight them with everything I got. And I think that's when one of the big disconnections that we see that's really made, it's really made a lot of things hard in our country, but our politics especially.
8 years ago, first African-American president. Wow, what a huge change in American life. What does that mean? And today, it's Donald Trump. What do you make of that contrast?
It's a change. Our life didn't change that much out here. Our life didn't change that much, and I don't think it'll change that much again. We've lived in this country with nuts before, and we will again. I mean, whichever side you want to fall on, we'll survive. We'll survive.
I think like any other president, Obama did some things right and he did some things wrong. And I anticipate that President Trump, like any other president, will do some things right and do some things wrong.
They're only human.
And there's more to the game than just a president. I think there's a responsibility of Congress to do their job. You know, are they going to represent their constituents? Problem. You know, you've got the courts that serve as another check. You know, you've got the states. You know, how is it all going to fit together? I mean, you can't put everything, good or bad, on one individual, nor should you expect to. That's not how the system's supposed to work.
I think Donald Trump's going to find out that he can't do everything. You know, he just can't. He's a human being, believe it or not. We've got to check and balanced government, and it'll work out.
Faith in the U.S. government from some Democrats, Jacqueline Pope and her son Clay Pope from, you can't make this up, Loyal, Oklahoma, 81 residents. I spoke to them last week.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.